Welcome back. Will you please join me in the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Our speaker is being recorded tonight with her permission, right? CDs can be purchased from Darren. I'd like to introduce this evening's speaker, Andrea from San Clemente.
Thanks, Lee. Good to see you. Happy birthday to you and to the others. My name's Andrea. I'm an alcoholic. Before I start, do I have any hairs sticking up like this? The last time I spoke somewhere, I had hairs sticking up like this the whole time. And I don't want that to happen. It's okay? My hairstylist's here in the front row. Thanks, Marcia, for asking me to speak. It's always a privilege to speak in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a privilege just to be in AA. There's been many times where I've just completely been cavalier and careless with my sobriety and managed to stay sober. And today I feel so lucky to be here. We have a deadly, deadly disease that takes people out right and left. And we're the lucky ones, man, sitting in this room. Excuse me while I deposit my nicotine lozenge into this cup. It's my one drug of choice today. It's all I got left. I try to work every angle on every other thing, and all I got left is a freaking nicotine lozenge and a half cup of coffee. So anyway, my sobriety date's October 12th, 1999. My home group is actually the women's meeting downstairs here at the church on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we study... It sounds so boring, but we study the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the women of Alcoholics Anonymous. I cannot believe I'm saying that. I didn't even have one female friend when I got to AA. I didn't even really know what you people were like. And I love my brothers in Alcoholics Anonymous. I do. And today, I know how to treat them with respect and treat them appropriately. I learned that in AA. And but my sisters are my main support group, and I can't tell you how awesome it is. I went to maybe I'll tell you about that later. But yesterday, there was 25 women at the Harbor Justice Court. The bailiff brought over tissue, and we were just like weeping as our friend from our group got all her charges dismissed and graduated from drug court. And it was just a beautiful thing, a great testimony of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'll just dig in to this bottle of water. I grew up in the rough streets of Laguna Beach. I grew up in Laguna Beach in the 60s and 70s. And... it was a phenomenal place to grow up. it was so much fun. And I have to tell you, because it's like a significant deal. Like, I had such a bitchin' childhood, I spent the majority of my adult life trying to recreate the magic of my youth. but it was a good time. And I remember, it was just endless summers. It was painted skirts and flowers in my hair and tripping through the Laguna Canyon and going to honk concerts. And I swear I wore a hibiscus the whole time behind my ear when I was in high school. And there was a lot of, it was really a safe little bubble there. It was really awesome place to grow up. And the beach was my playground. I felt connect. There was a time when I, you know, felt like if I was to feel spiritually connected in my youth, it was at the beach. And I couldn't stand being away from the beach. When I wasn't at the beach, I thought about being at the beach. And when I was in class, I would look at the beach and couldn't wait to get to the beach. It was all about the beach. And There was drugs and alcohol everywhere in that era, and they were not absent from my home. They were right in my face at home. I have two alcoholic parents. We always say, my sister and I, when my parents met, two great rivers of alcoholism came together to form one. And there was, like, my parents were kind of functioning drunks, unlike me, who, like, my alcoholism just led me down. Like, I was just the party type. Like I said, about the recreating of the youth, you know, I just wanted to party all the time. I had so much fun when it worked, but in the end, of course, I'm winding up in situations with people I don't want to be with, doing things I don't want to do, and I have no idea how the hell I got there. And I didn't mean for any of this to happen. I just wanted to have a good time, you know? And I know why it happened now. I was alcoholic, and I couldn't help it. Alcoholism had me in the end, and I beat all the fun out of it. But anyway, my parents were wild, you know, like my dad was a professor at UCI, and they were kind of like high-functioning hippie types, intellectual types, and there was always interesting things going on and jazz being played in the living room and wild parties, wild fighting, lots of drinking. Other parents' mothers were taking their kids to parent-teacher night, and my mom was in the kitchen mixing Harvey wall bangers, smoking. Remember those? Smoking cigarettes, and they were plotting their next moves in the women's liberation movement. And you know, I was being dragged off to peace marches and naked beaches and rock concerts, and it was great, you know. But that was like the extent of my parenting. My parents kind of thought like they were just like strangely absent throughout my entire childhood, and so I don't know what to say about that, but that's kind of the way it was. And I was left on my own, and it was great. And it was a really safe place to be in Laguna at that time. So I took my first drink at Katie Cornelison's house. I was 15, and I have to tell you that I smoked weed way before I drank because it was in the house, and I got it out of my mom's closet. It kind of started with weed is a gateway drug. It is a gateway drug. And it kind of started with weed and ended with weed for me. But I am a full-blown alcoholic through and through. I drink alcoholically, like from the gate, I drink alcoholically. So, because my first drink was, I was 15 years old, and it was homecoming dance at the high school, Laguna Beach High School. And it was vodka and orange juice, and I throw that stuff back like it's nothing. And, you know, I'm the kind of alcoholic, you pour alcohol into me and I just light up. I feel free. I feel fun. I feel pretty. I feel connected. I want to rip off my clothes, run down the beach, jump off the pier. All right. I'm swing from the chandeliers kind of drunk. Okay. And I overshot the mark that night, and we peed in the street on the way to the football game, and I blacked out from there, but dude was told that I was hauled off by the cops in front of the whole high school in a blackout. But after that, it was on. I was game. Every chance I could get, I would party. There were no parents, like I said. Even, you know, I'd go down to the Breen's house, and this is like the place where all the rats would come in. We'd drink and party in the pool room if there was no waves or whatever. And there was no parents there either. And we would just pass out and get wasted all the time in my youth. That's all I really remember. It was still fun. And where am I? I'm 16 still? Good God. Okay, I got to watch the time. Because I got a long story, kind of. Anyway, I feel really mellow tonight. I cannot see the time without my glasses. Okay. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. So, right away I get into trouble, mixing with the wrong kids. We're young. We're hanging out with 23, 24-year-olds. Guys, we have no business, you know, hanging with. It's just not a good idea at that age. And And I'm already getting into trouble at school and hanging out with the other kids that are in trouble in school, and we're ditching a lot and cruising down the trails to the beach. And in the meantime, my parents are getting a divorce, and they're even more absent than ever, and I start to feel unsafe, and I'm scared, and I don't know where to turn, and my drinking's escalating. So finally, my dad leaves, and I take off after him to New York, where I spent like a year and a half, like my last years, and I had gone through Laguna Beach school system, K through 12, and I wound up in upstate New York, and it was sort of a boon for my alcoholism because he was down in the city working all the time, and I was again alone and parentless and partying, and I hooked up with guys and my group of guys. I always had a group of guys. I drank with the guys, with the posse, and at that time, the drinking age was 18 in New York State. I got into a lot of trouble. I started blacking out drinking. By the time I'm 18, I'm already blacking out drinking and partying all the time. And I totally qualify for Alcoholics Anonymous, but I'm not even remotely ready. In fact, at that point, I think I know I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not done. So what happened was a lot of scary stuff can happen to young women who blackout drink, and a lot of scary stuff can and did happen to me. And I left there and rejected, and I showed the only kind of interest in anything was I showed was in art, and which I'm a graphic designer today, which kind of worked out. And my dad had offered me an opportunity to go to Parsons School of Design upon high school graduation, which I promptly rejected because I had to get home and I had to go to the beach and I had a party. And I could not handle any kind of responsibility. I was never the kind of person who wanted to study, get a job. I just wanted to have fun and party. That's pretty much my story. And so I came back to Laguna, and I didn't have too many resources available during that time. My mom had gone to Al-Anon, so I was pretty much had worked that angle, and she wasn't having it anymore. So what happened was I did what a good alcoholic young woman does. She hooks up with a guy that I met in a bar and moved in with him for the next 6 years. And it was a wild, crazy, psychotic, nutty relationship, to say the least, and my drinking and using started to escalate even more, and it was a really dark time in my life, and I got to the point, you know, where I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I just could not stop. I mean, no matter how much I would try to, like, pull myself up by my bootstraps one more time and make something happen, I couldn't get it together anymore, and I managed to hold down a waitress job, I think it was, but I kept showing up still drunk from the night before, and by now I'm doing other drugs that are into the pictures, which totally escalated my alcoholism. The fact that other drugs were available were like Ambilify for me. It just sort of enhanced my drinking. So I found myself really screwed up. By the time I'm by the mid 80s, you know, I'm drinking or using something every day. I'm sorry, I'm like drifting off here. Am I drifting off?
No.
No? Okay. Speaking is like my least favorite thing to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. Anyway, so stay with me. I'll come back. I will come back. I'm drinking, I'm using every day, and by the early 80s, and I don't have registration on my vehicle. I can't get it together. I don't even have a bank account. The boyfriend's getting really, really, really weird, and it starts getting strange at home, and not only is there violence and that type of activity, he starts doing too much cocaine and standing at the windows with guns because they're out there. And I start getting scared. So I finally realize I got to get away from him. And at this point, you know, my drinking is to the point where I'm completely, like, I'm no longer the fun, happy drunk. Like, I at different times in different ways, I drink differently. Sometimes I'm the crying, maudlin, I just want to kill myself drunk. And I was getting like that a lot. And other times I just, like, I don't even, I want to kill you. And a lot of times I just want to, well, I won't go there. And so it's just getting bad at this point, you know. And so I finally accept, I hit my bottom. I hit my bottom at 26 years old, and I decide that to take some help that was offered to me. And so I wound, I found my way back into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel really grateful for that. And that was 1985, and I was sitting at the Gucci meeting on a Wednesday night, and the party was over, and I knew it. I knew the party was over, and there'd been no more magic. There hadn't been any magic in a really long time, and it was done. And I thought, that's it. It can't get any lamer than this. I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous. My life is completely over. I'm going to have to learn how to knit, prepare a dish for a potluck. This is what my life come to, and I was sure, absolutely positive, that I would end up with some Guido. And I kind of did. No. he's speaking next week. no. And I had, you know, and it's like I never know what God has in store for me. What I think is going to be hideous turned out to be, obviously, the most amazing thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I slowly started coming back to life in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got really active, and I went back to school, and my life started taking off, and really pretty quickly, too. And I worked through my steps once, and then my life got so insanely good, I couldn't stop working the steps. I'm like, who needs to work the steps? I'm brilliant. I'm having a brilliant life. I have all these great friends that I never had before. And I was having the time of my life. And what happened for me was that my outer life got really big, but my inner life started to shrink. And I relapsed after close to 7 years of sobriety. I got into a lot of pain with my back. I got a physical injury, and I went to the doctor, and I didn't run it by anyone. I was very secretive. My alcoholic likes to keep secrets, okay? When it's on, it's going to be on. I have the kind of, I'm the kind of alcoholic who likes to go under the radar where no one knows where I am. and I still fight to that this day with my sponsors. And so the relapse was really tough. It lasted 5 years. I started taking pills alcoholically. It started going down to Mexico, bringing home bottles of Soma, and just popping pills alcoholically. I drank that during that time, but I seemed to be done with alcohol. I was now finding new avenues to express my alcoholism, and I was going to ride this one to the end. And in the end, I did. I was blacking out and passing out, and I was, towards the end, totally overdosing almost every night, 30, 40, whatever, combined with the whatever pill, other pill. It's amazing I'm standing here because I was chomping lots of pills, pharmaceuticals, and I backed out of AA, was backing out of AA, and backing out of AA, and finally one night, my sponsor at the time, Cindy Martindale, we're talking on the phone, and I had to get off the phone because those pills were about to hit me. And I was already kind of had more than one foot out the door. And she goes, "You're loaded." Those pills started. She wouldn't get off the phone. She said, "Why do you want to get off the phone?" She called me out. And she reached in and grabbed, it's like I was hanging out in the water, and she grabbed my life vest and pulled me back into the boat, literally, and took, and made me go back to meetings, stand up, and I was willing. I was willing because I could not, I was dying inside. I was completely dead inside, and I could not stop, and it was killing me. And so by the grace of God, I journeyed back into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel so lucky. Very few people make it back to Alcoholics Anonymous after a relapse like that. And so what happened was I was so ashamed and full of self and pretty full of self. It was the most difficult thing to come back, I'm telling you. I had a lot of regrets about coming back. It was like I had had the gift and I gave it away, and now I'm doomed to play out this hideous karma, spiritual karma that I've incurred upon myself. I mean, how dramatic can you get? I really believed that too. I thought, you know, I fucked myself, and it was really hard getting back. And anyone who's relapsed with any amount of time that's come back will attest to the fact that it's ridiculously hard to get sober again. And the magic, like it was the first time around, is gone. So anyway, I left Laguna with my tail between my legs because I was ashamed. I think that's why. And plus, I had used up all my resources, and my parents were really pissed. They were both sober at this point. And so I came down here to San Clemente and started my recovery journey. And the first couple years, I white-knuckled the shit out of it. I can't even believe I stayed sober. I was so depressed and suicidal. This is where I get when I don't drink and I don't recover. When I don't use the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to recover from my disease, I get depressed and suicidal. My spirit withers up and dies. I do not want to come out and play. I do not want to participate in life. I want to curl up and die without what I can't picture life without alcohol and drugs. But I couldn't do it anymore. There was no doing it. Am I getting too dramatic?
No, I love it.
All right. But I seriously couldn't, I just had no other choice but to be here and sit here and not leave before the miracle. And so I began the slow journey back to recovery, and I got a sponsor, Kathleen, who's here tonight, and started my steps again. And slowly, it was so freaking slowly. It's like the hand of God moves so slow. This one guy knows this because he's so old. I am so grateful that I stuck through that hard part, and because I've lived to tell the tale that it's great on the other side of that. Part of my journey back to recovery was that I met Guy. He was a really key... When I met Guy, who's my boyfriend that I've been living with for 6 years, who, you know, we're like, are you together? Or, you know, I mean, everyone knows, like, there's all kinds, you know, there's a lot of laughter and love and happiness in our house, except when he stops working for 2 years. Then it kind of went south, but now it's back on track. Again, you can hear a rebuttal from him next week. He was so on fire with Alcoholics Anonymous. He was just bubbling over with this program. It was such an attraction. And he actually is the one that, like, got me motivated again, got me going again. And I'll ever be grateful for that. So what it's like today is pretty great. I have to say that for someone who never really liked responsibility or cared too much for the prospect of work, would rather stay lazy and loll around in the Florida sunshine, I, Andrea A. Wallace, am a graphic designer and have a pretty thriving business. It turns out I'm actually quite capable at doing this thing called work. Who knew, you know? I mean, I am, like, stunned every day. I practice these principles in my work affairs, like, no one's business. And I suit up and I show up and I give them a dime for their nickel. I don't worry about the paycheck. I worry about being of service, and I check my ego at the door. every day. Check my ego at the door, and I bring higher power with me. And I bring higher power with me all through the day. And if you're new to Alcoholics and you're anonymous and you're relating and you're hearing things you relate to and then you hear the God word, you're like, oh, no, not that. I knew there was something about those people. They're those kind of people. I can relate to that. I had that experience when I first came in. And believe you me, this is a spiritual program. There's no way that I could have stopped the way I was living and had the psychic change that needed to occur without being able to access a power greater than myself. There's absolutely no way I could do this thing on my own power. Alcohol is too powerful. Or any of the other crap I accomplished for that matter. When it comes to giving up character defects, this year I've been struggling a lot with, I've done a lot of work around self-esteem. Which, for some reason, women come to Alcoholics Anonymous with just the most crippling self-esteem issues. At least I did. I wasn't like, I mean, I kind of maybe acted like a big shot or pretended like I was this. I'm doing a lot of cover up, a lot of false pride stuff. Like, oh yeah, I got this going, or I'm hanging out with these people, or I was really big for a long time on developing my self-esteem from outside sources, like who I was with, or what I was doing, or what I had. I still get into that a little, like, oh my God, I have to have that thing from Pottery Barn in my living room, or I will not be okay. it's like ridiculous. I'm like obsessed with shopping right now. And so I've come to see, I did a lot of like self-bashing for a really long time, and I finally came to see it through my work that it's a character defect. I'm not recognized the God within. And slowly and surely, like every day, I've been praying to have that one removed, you know. I mean, you guys don't really see me as near the piece of shit that I think I am. I mean, I am so harsh on myself, it's ridiculous. It's insane. I mean, I let stuff with you slide all the time. But with me, it's been work. It's been a lot of work. I have to say that I have incredible relationships with my parents today. They're both sober in AA. They're big parts of Laguna Beach AA. They're like the matron and patron of the morning meeting at the Canyon Club. And they're just so loved. They're so awesome, man. I spent yesterday with them and took them to dinner, and they're having a hard time right now. There's a lot of freaking issues going on with them. And I have to say, it's wonderful and a total direct result of this program that I could be there for them. The family dynamic has always been, what are we going to do about Andrea? We've got to, she needs this. It got to the point in my recovery where I would go over to my parents' house and I would recognize that I was manipulating them for money or whatever it is. I thought there was like this whole dynamic built, like I am so dependent on these people emotionally, financially. And so recently I went over there. I go, Mom, I really need your help with blah, blah. I hadn't asked her for help in a long time. In fact, I got no financial help when I got sober 12 years ago. Maybe a little. And they work good Al-Anon programs. And I go, God, but I put on my best plea for cash from Mom, right? Again. And she looks at me and she goes, I've helped you. And I got that. I'm like, God, you really have. And I was so pissed. And I went in the other room and I thought about it. For a while, I'm like, bitch, you know, I need help with my health insurance. I'm self-employed. And so I go back and I go, oh my God, Mom, I'm sorry. You know, is there anything you need right now? And that was like huge for me. You don't even know. I mean, I'm like a 53-year-old big kid. I've grown up and everything I learned in these rooms, really, I'm so grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. Friends, I got a ton of friends, and and I show up for my relationships today, I have to say that showing up in my significant other relationship is the hardest area for me, and it actually drove me to Al-Anon, which I highly recommend if you're in a relationship with another alcoholic. And I will say this about sponsorship's been really key this year. I like to stay unaccountable. My disease likes me to be unaccountable and hide away and a little part of myself. And maybe even keep the back door out of Alcoholics Anonymous cracked just a bit. Of course, it's been long slammed shut, so that part's good. Back door's shut now. But it's taken me a long time to really trust a sponsor and do work with a sponsor and get to the places where I need to go. And I loved what Lee shared. I mean, it has taken a village to get me into my recovery process. I have had great sponsorship. I have had other programs, lots of books, people. There's so many tools at our disposal to help fight this disease. We cannot do it alone. If we could just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm not going to drink anymore, what the hell would we be doing here? You know, there's so many things at our disposal that I forget to use. And, if I'm definitely not cured from alcoholism, I still have an alcoholic mind, and I have a lot of other issues, and the steps work on all of those things. And Joe, you only gave me a dollar. What the hell? I just saw Joey give me a dollar to mention his name. You got five. Anyway. I've been sponsoring this last couple years. I didn't want to sponsor. And it's been really, really good. And, my girls, they come to me with issues, like if they have medication, if they happen to have medication issue, I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, go to the doctor. If they have issues around childhood trauma, I'm like, what the hell do I know? Go to a therapist. I know Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all I know. I am not their counselor. I am not their therapist. I am not their dispensary. I can simply share. I couldn't be a dispensary to this day. Okay, I don't trust myself around pills to this day. Not after what happened to me, because that relapse friggin' almost killed me. So today I'm very accountable around medication. Extremely, extremely accountable. I've had to have a couple surgeries, and it works out well when you do it the right way. That's all I can say about that. I mean, there's plenty. You can totally take meds in sobriety and stay sober if you have to take them for reasons that you have to take them for. If you take them soberly, you can do anything you want in sobriety, really. The cardinal rule is don't drink, right? And it's hard to do that sometimes. Anyway, am I rambling? I am. All right. I'm just going to wrap it up by telling you that I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love being sober. And if you're new tonight and you're thinking, God, I don't know. It can work. I see it working for you people and whoopee for you. But I know that it can't work for me. I felt that way. I seriously felt that this thing couldn't work for someone like me. And it did. It did. And the only reason it did is because I finally I finally got what you people were getting because I did what you did. So my message tonight is don't leave before the miracle, and if you want what we have, do what we do. Thanks.